This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. Still looking at the 12 Malaysia plan this morning, we're going to look at digital infrastructure because we've got a goal of becoming a high-income, high-tech country by 2025. Some challenges, of course, need to be confronted immediately, with the pandemic actually already shining a spotlight on Malaysia's widening digital divide.
I mean, the 12th Malaysia plan hasn't ignored this. They have aims for the digital economy's contribution to GDP to reach about 26%, and with about 100% of urban and rural households to have subscribed to the internet. But you know, currently there's still a long way to go because only about 50% of the B40 group have broadband subscription, compared to about 99% on the M40 and T20. Now in 2021, Malaysia's 4G coverage stands about 96%, and JENDELA targets 100% coverage at populated areas only in 2025. But really the question is, how can Malaysia reduce the wealth gap when digital inaccessibility remains an issue?
To help us answer that question is Dr. Rachel Gong, Senior Research Associate at the Khazanah Research Institute. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Now, can this 12MP sufficiently address the current digital divide in the nation?
I think, as you've already mentioned, the 12 Malaysia plan does have good intentions. And bearing in mind that it is a high-level policy blueprint, the challenge is really in how these high-level objectives are going to be implemented. I think that compared to the 11th Malaysia plan, the 12th Malaysia plan makes a stronger, more direct commitment to addressing the digital divide, at least in terms of infrastructure and affordability. And that's good, especially when we consider that there are existing initiatives such as JENDELA and the Digital Economy Blueprint that do provide more detail on how to tackle the digital divide.
However,
I do think that the 12 Malaysia plan does miss an opportunity to go beyond this infrastructure and affordability to address the digital divide in terms of design. So design for accessibility and usability, and to really make an explicit goal to develop a digital ecosystem that can improve the lives of people who are often overlooked. So for example, people with disabilities or people who lack digital literacy and who are vulnerable to things like scams or misinformation.
So you're saying actually much better than 11MP, but still not good enough because it hasn't been addressed holistically. Where do you think are the pitfalls really in helping even achieve these current goals set out?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that there's a lack of attention given to how to build a large-scale national digital ecosystem in terms of how we design something that can work across sectors, whether that's government, private or civil society sectors, or even across industries, like how do digital systems in finance and education and healthcare talk to each other. So that sort of broad systems, interoperable process design needs to be in place to make sure that everyone can participate in the digital ecosystem. And that's a very big challenge. It's a little bit like having different companies, you know, develop different sections of a public transport system. And then eventually you want them all to play nicely with each other. But it turns out that maybe the tracks are a different size or the ticketing systems don't work together. And so if we can, we should really be designing a cohesive digital system from the ground up, from the beginning, or, you know, given where we already are, as early as possible, even if we do wind up having different people implement different parts of the system. Another challenge that I think is going to be bigger than the plan indicates is cybersecurity. Because as more things go digital, we are going to need redundant systems and backups to make sure that we can continue having services if one goes down. And those backups can be vulnerable to attack if we are not paying enough attention to them. So lots of little things can fall through the cracks between the process of data generation and data collection, data transfer. And we need strong and comprehensive cybersecurity to protect us against those threats.
Okay, Rachel, I mean, it's great that we've got this policy framework that you say, you know, perhaps could go even further. But if I just look at the basics, currently only 50% of the B40 group have broadband subscription, creating, of course, this inequality in terms of economic and even learning opportunities. So what are the plausible reasons for this? I mean, and how can it be overcome?
Right. So what you're, this sort of unending loop is sometimes called by social scientists the Matthew effect of accumulated advantage, which sort of describes the natural tendency for rich people to get richer while poor people get poorer. And it's a structural problem that policymakers have been trying to solve for a long time. The reasons for it are partly just general human nature and partly built-in structural norms that favor people who are better off to begin with. For example, we'll offer a scholarship that is based on merit, but the people who know about it and the people who are likely to apply for it are also likely to already have more resources than the people who would qualify for it but didn't know that it existed. And so this cycle keeps continuing. So to break the pattern, what we do need are regular, proactive interventions that can redistribute resources and opportunity, digital or otherwise, to those that need them more. And already we see some of these interventions happening in, you know, grassroots efforts led by civil society organizations and even some private sector initiatives. But it's often a lot more effective when the government can lead these interventions because they can run them at a much larger scale.
So let's slice it differently. You slice it by income, or let's slice it by age, because today is International Old Persons Day, right? What kind of policy initiatives do you need to do to address the yawning gap between youth and senior citizens when it comes to digitalization then?
Yeah, I'm so glad you raised that. I'll go back to that point I made on design, because I really think it's important to make digital technologies as easy to use as possible so that more people can use them. And inclusive design would make a big difference for seniors who are trying to stay connected. So app developers, you know, they're sort of thinking, oh, I can add more functionality here and I can, you know, put in this cool feature and change the icons up and you know, put in a new word that I just made up to describe how we can do this cool thing. And all this can be a little bit overwhelming for seniors. So when they see their apps get updated and all these new things are added, their reaction is not so much, oh, this is exciting. It's, oh no, what has happened to my app? You know, it's broken. Where has everything gone? So we do need to have inclusive design as a policy again from the start, because it benefits not just seniors, but it benefits everyone who isn't familiar with the technology or has special needs when it comes to technology. And that's important, not just for usability, but in thinking about how to design this complete and sustainable digital ecosystem.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Rachel Gong, Senior Research Associate at the Khazanah Research Institute, giving us her views on the digital divide facing the country whilst commenting on the digital objectives of the 12 Malaysia Plan. So it's pretty good. It's pretty comprehensive. But according to her, not it doesn't go far enough.
Yeah, I think she's kind of saying, look, it's all not connected and driven together, because, you know, you have all these very nice goals, which make a lot of sense. But how do you make sure that the infrastructure is able to be flexible, to flex up, flex down, and also connect easily? Because she draws a very nice analogy about, you know, creating multiple tracks, and how do you drive alignment will be very tough in the future, especially if you want to reduce inequalities.
Yeah, for me, I think it we need to go back to the basics, right? We need to ask ourselves, why do only 50% of the B40 group have no broadband subscription? And if you don't even get that sorted out, it doesn't really matter what your policies are, because the inequalities, the digital divide will continue to widen. So that has to be addressed. And she gave some solutions in terms of the government actually being involved. But actually, I'm curious whether the private sector should also get involved, because broadband comes from the telco operators, right? So whether there needs to be some sort of public-private partnership, I think is the question I have. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.